Today's daf in Masechet Pesachim, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Yer HaKodesh, is daf Nun Hey, and we're holding on daf Nun Dalet, Amud Beit, and we're holding about approximately halfway down, a few lines below, halfway down, four lines below, Dorash Rava. So we got up to, we're talking about the dinim of Yom HaKippurim and of Tisha B'Av and of Ta'aniyot Tzibur, the interrelationship between those three things. And let's remember that by Tisha B'Av, we obviously have different dinim because of the inyanim of Avelut on Tisha B'Av. And therefore, there may be a lot of differences that aren't in terms of the fasting per se and the things that are associated with fasting, but that reflect the dual nature of Tisha B'Av, which also has to take into consideration the idea of Avelus. So Dorash Rava. Ubrot umenikot mitanot umashlimot bo. So this is where we're up to, that in the same way that obviously when there's a deraisa, we're not mekel, unless of course there's some type of health hazard, but for pregnant and nursing women, they would actually complete the entire tainis on Tisha B'Av the same way that they would do on Yom HaKippurim. And furthermore, ben hashmashot shelo is aser, which means that you cannot eat the moment that there's a suffix that maybe it's already after Shkia, that's enough, even though we don't know that that gives it a din of the next day. V'chein omrum b'shmei de Rabbi Yochanan, that we aser the Bein HaShmashot. By the way, as far as the Halacha L'maisa, there are many poskim today that say that the Ubrot are not supposed to be Mashlimot because they found a general increase in deliveries immediately after fast days, and because of that came to the conclusion that there would be some chashash of miscarriage. So many of the poskim paskin today, not like this, even the Shlomo Zalman paskin l'chumra, but almost everybody else didn't have the nerve to tell a woman not that she should not eat because they were nervous. As it turns out, doctors that I've spoken to in that work in hospitals tell me that while that's true, there's no indication of increased miscarriage. So I don't know. But Lamaisa, in most places, people are not makbin on Ubrot. Okay, question is, Miyom Rabbi Yochanan Hoch. So did Rabbi Yochanan say that you're not allowed to eat Bein HaShmashot? Miyom Rabbi Yochanan Tisha B'Av Eino Ketanit Tzibur. Now, when Rabbi Yochanan said that Tisha B'Av is not the same as a regular Tainis Tzibur, wasn't he referring to the din of Bein HaShmashot? In other words, that when it comes to Tisha B'Av, we're mekel and we allow you to eat Bein HaShmashot. Because we're assuming that for the dinim of Tainis Tzibur, which are chumrah in Eretz Yisrael, so over there it would definitely be also Bein HaShmashot. Says the Gemara, no. Rabbi Yochanan is simply saying that you're definitely not allowed to work on a Tainis Tzibur, but you are allowed to work, unless the minig is not to work, on Tisha B'Av. So on Tisha B'Av is totally the minig. Wait a minute, that can't be what Rabbi Yochanan would be coming to tell me, because that the Mishnah is. What else is our Mishnah about? The Mishnah just said, Malkam shenagu lasot melacha b'tisha b'av osim. Malkam shenagu lo lasot ein osim. Now, even if you want to tell me that we need Rabbi Yochanan to know that we don't go according to Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, even Rav Shimon Gamaliel, who said over here, everybody should make themselves like a Talmud Chacham and not work on Tisha B'Av, did he say it's usser? No. He said it would be a nice thing, and it's not usser to make yourself, so to speak, into a Talmud Chacham by not doing Malacha, because like this, we would say that it's, yeah, you look stuck up and so on. That's called Mirzei Kiyura. And all Rav Shimon Gamaliel was saying is that it's not considered to be Mixer Yibiyura. He certainly didn't say it's Usser. So what is Rabbi Yochanan saying that the Mishnah didn't say? Every sheet in the Mishnah said exactly that. Ela Dechiyativ, all Rabbi Shimon Gamaliel was saying is that if he's Yasev, Velo Avid, Velo Mixer Kiyura, if he doesn't work, it doesn't look like he's stuck up. He certainly never ossered working on Tisha B'Av. I don't need Rabbi Yochanan to tell me that. So what did Rabbi Yochanan mean? When he said Tisha B'Av is not like the Tainis Tzibur, he was referring to Tefillas Ne'ilah. We do not say Ne'ilah on Tisha B'Av, and it's not one of the times that we say B'Shlosha Yamim B'Shana, that the Kohanim Onosim Es Yadehem, four times, which would even include the Ne'ilah. Okay, why? Because apparently there's a tremendous nafkamina between a day that is sad and that is broken. And even though it has the same inyanim in terms of the not eating, that Tisha B'Av, that Yom HaKippurim does when we do say Ne'ilah, but obviously a time of Avelus is not the same as a time simply of avoiding Ta'anugei HaGuf. So that's what he was referring to. How could he be referring to that? Didn't Reb Yochanan himself hold of the Shita that there was talking about a question of somebody is not sure if he had davened or not? So Reb Yochanan says, what's the problem of davening more? So daven again, big deal. Reb Yochanan Shita is, Ulevai Shit Palila Dam Voleh Kol Hayom Kulo. How Levai a person would daven all day long? So what would be so terrible if you say another tefillah? So the same thing is true over here. Well, Reb Yochanan would say that Ne'ilah is different on Tisha B'Av than Yom Kippur. I mean, let him daven Ne'ilah, who cares? Oh, come on, says the one. What does that have to do with the price of eggs in China? We're talking about the differences lahalaka, whether you're mechuyev to or not. That's all. Maybe Rabbi Yochanan would say you could say Ne'ilah if you want. But, I mean, the idea over here is on Yom Kippur, there's a Yischaivus for Ne'ilah. And over here, there's no Chova of Ne'ilah. The Kasha seems stupid on the surface, but it isn't really. Because remember that if the idea is that there needs to be a particular aura or atmosphere about the day, and that, therefore, Tisha B'Av lacks that, and because of that, there's no Ne'ilah. So then, Aliba de Rabbi Yochanan, you shouldn't be allowed to say Ne'ilah. Since Rabbi Yochanan apparently doesn't care, and he's saying, just daven all day long, what's the difference what kind of mood you're in? So then, if that's the case, so why indeed weren't we koveya? That's what the Gemara's Havamina was. Anyway, that could be one approach. You know what? Maybe he wasn't referring to Ne'ilah, and maybe he was referring to the other serious difference. And that is that when you say that Tisha B'Av is not like a Tainus Tzibur, you know what he meant it's not like a Tainus Tzibur in the additional six brachas that Chazal were koveya, that's La'esrim V'Arba, instead of there being a Shmona Esrei, which today, of course, is really a Tisha Esrei, there was an Esrim V'Arba, so the Amida consisted of 24 brachas. And that, as well, was not said on the days of Tisha B'Av, obviously, as we know. Rav Papa says, they had a whole different approach. You guys are all tying yourself up in knots because you're assuming that when he says Einu Ketainus Tzibur, that it's a contradiction because he's saying that it's a kula. That's not the point. He meant it's not like the first series of Tainus Tzibur, where over there you're not usher to eat at night, but it is like the last series of the Tainus Tzibur. That's the point. And it's usher. So Mamela has nothing to do with it. He said Tisha B'Av is not like a Tainus Tzibur. And that had to do exactly with what we thought. It had to do with Beinat Shmashas. And then we said, but wait a minute, isn't that a steer to Rabbi Yochanan because he says Beinat Shmashas is Aser? Says Rav Papa, that's what he means. He means it's Aser. Because what he was saying is, don't think you can be Mekel on Tisha B'Av like you can on the early list of the Tiny Tzibur, which the first Tiny Ice were not so Makbid. No, this is like the emergency Tiny Ice when there's been a long-term cessation of Gishami. Mesef. So now we have a problem with this sheet, because in the Braita it says, Ein Bein Tisha B'Av Liyom HaKippurim, Now, that seems to be saying, I mean, I don't know what sveiko could mean. I'm assuming that sveiko mutar, as we spoke about before, that is referring to Bein HaShemashot, where we're not sure if it's been a yom, and we're not sure it's been a laila. Omer of Shisha Berei de Revidi, lo, l'kviya de Yarcha. It has to do with somebody who's lost, and he doesn't know whether it's Yom Kippur today or not, or he doesn't know whether it's Tisha B'Av today or not. That's what we're saying. So it could be that Megabe, this fake of Ben HaShemoshos, maybe it is the same as Yom Kippur. There's no steer to Rabbi Yochanan to Ravo from here. But what it's saying is you would not have to keep 2 days of Tisha B'Av if you are Mesopic. But you would have to keep 2 days of Yom Kippur if you're Mesopic. But as Tosis points out, as we mentioned yesterday, this doesn't mean if you're in a mokum where the Shluchei Bessin didn't come. It means if you are literally lost, you just simply lost track of the date. You don't know what the day is. Anyway, getting back to the Braita. Now, the Braita certainly is mashma, that You're telling me the only difference between Tisha B'Av Yom Kippur is in terms of Sveiko. But that's mashma that in terms of everything else, it's exactly the same. But that would be a tremendous raya to Rabbi Elazar. Because Rabbi Elazar says you are not allowed on Tisha B'Av to even put your finger into water. The same way we're makpid on Yom Kippur, where the Torah asers rechitza, so too are we makpid on Tisha B'Av. Because that's what else would it mean? In every way, it's not. That would mean, however, that Tisha B'Av is more chomer than a tainis tzibur, and this was the basis of a kasha we asked in Rabbi Elazar. Because on the other hand, here it's saying ein bein Tisha B'Av liyom haKippurim ella, and yet it also says ein bein Tisha B'Av l'tainis tzibur, except for the iser of asiyas melacha, which is mamish an iser on the tainis tzibur, but which is totally minhaga when it comes to Tisha B'Av. So then that would mean lechol divrei mezev hashavim. But in terms of everything else, it's exactly the same. But the problem is, if it's exactly the same, then we got a real contradiction. Because how could it be exactly the same as Yom Kippur, where you're not even allowed to stick your finger into water, and also be exactly the same as the tainis tzibur for everything else? Because in the tainis tzibur it says beferish kisha amro asur berchitza lo amro. The iser of washing on a tainis tzibur is only to literally take a shower, but you're certainly allowed to wash your hands, you're allowed to wash your face, you could wash your feet. I mean, so that would mean that it's dafka more chomer than, he's claiming it's more chomer than the tainis tzibur, and it's the same as Yom Kippur, and the other prize is saying it's the same. So this is really crazy. Amar of Papa, you know, again, you're making assumptions over here that both of the rayas that we just brought, ein bein, you're saying ein bein means but for everything else it's the same. And that's how you got into this whole problem, right? But it doesn't mean that. When it said ein bein, it wasn't talking about for everything else. It's saying kule kule katane. The same way that we were comparing Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur is the same way we're comparing Tisha B'Av and the Tainis Tzibur. It's the same Tana. There's no Stira. And we're only trying to show is that Ein Bein in terms of a Kula. Where is Tisha B'Av more Kal? So it's saying, okay, where would it be more Kal than Yom Kippur? Where would it be more Kal than a Tainis Tzibur? Now, that doesn't mean it's exactly the same as Yom Kippur and as Tainis Tzibur and everything else, which is obviously a contradiction. It just means there's some things that may be more chomer. I don't know. So it may obviously be more chomer in. And indeed it is. It's more chomer than the other tiniest. That's all. So therefore, the whole question was based on a misapprehension of what it was that the Tana was trying to say. Now let's get to the end of the Mishnah. When the Mishnah says, B'chol makom tamidei chachamim, that always tamidei chachamim should be batel. And Reb Shimon Gamliel adds, no problem. Everybody can basically be a Talmud Chacham. Now, this is really weird, because this means that Reb Shimon ben Gamliel is the shita that holds you don't need to worry about looking as if you're stuck up, right? And the Rabbanan hold that you do have to worry. But the big problem is that, as we know from the Mishnah in Brachas, the shita is exactly the opposite. Remember what the din is back in Brachas with a chassan who says, listen, I don't want to miss Kriyat Shema on the night of my wedding. I don't have any problem saying Kriyat Shema and being miskaven. It says over there, chatan im yirtze likrot Kriyat Shema laila rishon kore. So according to the Tanakhama, the chachamim over here, there is no problem of a chassan reading Kriyat Shema. And it's not that he's going to look like he's stuck up. And Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Dafka is the one who says, you can't do that. I mean, what do you mean you? Are you somebody that is considered to be an Adam Chashev and so on, and therefore it makes sense to say that you're going to be Machmer on yourself or not? That's a complete inversion of their shitas over here. Lo kol harotze litol et Hashem yitol. Omer Rabbi Yochanan, whoo, man, there's no way out of that. I mean, that's about as opposite as you can possibly get. It's a mirror image. Like one of these Mishnayas obviously have flipped the shitas. I mean, it's impossible. Mukhlefet Hashita. What's the problem? There's no problem at all. The Rabbanan Ad Rabbanan, look, I've explained to you, there's no difference over here. It looks like you are, you know why? Because Halacha came into Kulei Alma Avdei Melacha. Everybody in the area is working, and he's not working. So he sticks out like a sore thumb. So therefore, it looks like you are. He's calling attention to himself. Masha Enkein, B'nogea D'Chosen. Everybody's reading Kriyat Shema, right? Somebody's got their hand over their eyes. And he's got his hand over his eyes, too. So what do you think? Everybody's looking at him. What's he going to do? What's he going to do? Is he stuck up or is he not stuck up? Well, I mean, everybody's involved in reading Kriyat Shema. He's doing the same thing as everybody else. He doesn't stick out in the least. Nobody's even going to notice. So obviously, there's a big difference over there. It's a little mixed kiyura. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel is also not a stira. Because all Reb Shimon ben Gamliel is saying is, of course you cannot do something that appears stuck up. So then if you are a chotzen who's coming along and everybody else is not supposed to be Kriyat Shema, and you're saying, I have such a power of kavana, you think a little thing like getting married is going to take away my kavana from Kriyat Shema, chas v'chalila. Okay, so then he's making an announcement about his great ability to be miskavin, right? So there, Einochinami, he looks like he's stuck up. So hatam would be in a kavana. And we're saying that in general, a chosen cannot be mechavin. Who the heck are you? So over there is Mirzeki Yura. Mashenkin over here, in the case of Tisha B'Av, tell me something. In what way does he look stuck up? Because he's not working on Tisha B'Av? Because he's a lazy bum. That's all he's saying. There's nothing stuck up about not working. Anybody who looks at him will say, Milachahi deleta. The guy's got nothing to do. Take a look. There's all of these bums sitting out there doing nothing in the marketplace, all these homeless, and they claim that they got no work. Let him get up and work. Standard rich man's response. Okay. So in any event, I mean, it could be that we have a machlokas over here about whether mirzek yura is a question of how it is that you appear to others. Mirzek yura means to others it looks like you're stuck up. Or it could be mirzek yura in terms of what it looks like in reality. In other words, an expression of your own internal state. You got to train yourself not to be a stuck up nobody. And therefore, we don't allow it whether people will identify it as stuck up or not. And therefore, the Rabbanim are saying, it's not a question of whether people will notice. It's a question of what type of person you are. That's possible. Okay. By the way, some point out an incredible thing over here. And that is that the chumrah of gaiva, of arrogance, is such that it would be mavatala mitzvah saseh d'oraisa. Is that incredible? If you're telling me, a person says, I know I can be mechavim for Kriyat Shema. And we're telling you, don't say Kriyat Shema? After all, you can't afford to look stuck up or to maybe be stuck up. So it's because of that you're mevatel a mitzvah d'oraisa? That's a pretty shocking thing. Anyway, we're ready for our... you know what? I think maybe... is Benny here? Benny? Benny, maybe you could pull Gavi's trick, and you can come in the morning before the shir. I don't know. Gavi thinks that he's pulling tricks by simply putting up a funny picture instead of a Gavi, but he has not kept his promise, which allowed me to post it off yesterday by putting up a funny picture. So, all right. Then I was thinking that maybe it's kedai for us to start, because after all, up until now, we were really part of the previous stop. So just in case Benny wants to go ahead and do that, I'll start again. So today's daf in Masechet Pesachim is daf Nunhei, and we start with our favorite kapitan. Thank you. So getting back now to the opening of the parak. All right, so we started talking about the dinim of Erev Pesach. Then we talked about Minhagim that are Nogea, that same type of issue. And now we're able to discuss more dinim about that first Mishnah. So we can see clearly, because of the Seder, instead of putting this Mishnah directly after the first Mishnah, we're putting this Mishnah with all of the supposed digressions, and clearly they weren't digressions. They are elements that have to do with the concept of Asiyas Melacha on Erev Pesach. Yeah. Welcome. So, the Chachamim says, it's as if all the Mishnayos in the middle disappeared. Now, the Chachamim omrim, B'Yehuda ayu asim melacha b'arvei Pesachim ad chatzot, u'begalil lo ayu asim kalika. So if you live in Yehuda, so then they used to do melacha on Erev Pesach. But in the Galil, then they didn't do any work all day long. Now, what about the night before? Now, that's a different issue, which we haven't discussed yet. So Halayla, so in terms of what to do at night, there we have a machlokes between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Beit Shammai osrin, u Beit Hillel matirin. Now, this is impossible, right? This is a crazy Mishnah. First, you're talking about everything is dependent on a minhag. And that's talking about even the morning. Then at the end, you want to start talking about the night before. Now all of a sudden it becomes a function of Isser? As about locus, Beit Shammai, and Beit Hillel? I mean, this makes absolutely no sense. Says the Gemara, what the heck? First you talk about a minhag, and then you start talking about a machlokas about Isser. So is it a minhag or is it an Isser? Amar Rabbi Yochanan Lokash. Ha Rabbi Meir and Ha Rabbi Yehuda. Actually, there are two different approaches. So the first approach, that it's a din and a minhag and not an Isser, is in fact the way Rabbi Meir learns. But Rabbi Yehuda, he holds that it's actually dependent on Isser, the Tanya. Omar Rabbi Yehuda, Biyuda yuasim alacha barvei psachim at chatzot, ubegalil inan osim kolika. Okay, so far we don't see anything. All we see is a repetition of the mission, right? But now Rabbi Meir says to him, what are you bringing up a raya from Yehuda with a Galil? It's all dependent on a minhag. Mokam shenagu lasot melacha osim. Mokam shenagu shelo lasot inosim. I mean, so what is that? What is Rabbi Meir shouting at Rabbi Yehuda for? Maybe all Rabbi Yehuda meant was the same thing, right? He's just telling you what the minhagim were in Yehuda and the Galil. Mashma, that Rabbi Meir understood that Rabbi Yehuda was bringing a raya from the Piske Halachas in the Yehuda and the Galil. And basically, in that sense, we would go according to the Chachma Yehuda. He's paskin it was usher. Comes along Rabbi Meir to say, no, it's only dependent on a minhag. So because that's the point, Midakama Rabbi Meir Minhaga, so obviously Rabbi Yehuda was referring to Isura. Okay. Now therefore, the last part of the Mishnah that says is definitely Asur in the day. Now the question is, what's done in the night? And then it's a Machlokas Beishame Beitila. I mean, obviously, according to Rabbi Tosis points out, according to Rabbi Meir, there is no such Machlokas between Beishame Beitila. Because, I mean, otherwise, this doesn't help us one bit. Ask the Gemara now, wait. So you're telling me that you're allowed to do melacha on Asiyas melacha is mutter on Arba'asar, because he said that in Yehuda it would be mutter. V'otanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, ha-minakesh b'shlosha asar. Now this is fascinating. A way to bring a raya, bringing a raya just by reference to a date. What we're talking about over here has nothing to do on the surface with the melacha on Erev Pesach. What we're talking about over here is this. We know that if something had taken root before the Hakrav Asa Omer, and then when you bring the Omer, you're going to be Matir Chodesh. Now, what happens if, accidentally, a guy was weeding his field, and he rips out an entire stalk of wheat, let's say, right? And it comes out in his hand. So now, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? It's not really ready. I want it to grow a little bit more. So he wants to put it back in the ground. And now the question is, since he uprooted it, if he doesn't stick it back in the ground in enough time for it to take root before the 16th of Nisan, which is when we bring the Omer, so then when he brings the Omer, it's not going to apply to this piece of wheat that is not really in the ground because it hasn't taken root yet. And then when it does take root a couple days later, nobody's going to realize that the Omer wasn't matrit. And when they go and they take this stuff out of the field, they're going to eat this wheat, and this wheat is usher because it's kadosh. That's the problem. So now we find in the Brayta that it says like this, that according to Rabbi Yehuda, if a guy is weeding his field, and it's the 13th, for some reason he says it's the 13th, and it's the 13th of Nisan, and a whole stalk of grain came out from the ground in his hand, v'nek Rabbi Yehuda, he can simply stick it back into the ground, but he has to make sure that he's putting it into a place where it's muddy, so that there's enough water there that it can take root right away in the next few days. Don't stick it back into a dry piece of ground, because there it's not going to take root quickly. So, inshallah, b'makom agarit. Okay, now explain to me, why did Rabbi Yehuda say it has to be on the 13th, huh? Why couldn't he say if it was the 14th? Because look, if you would plant it on the 14th, so you would have the 14th, the 15th, and the 16th. That's 3 days. And those 3 days ought to be enough. So no hands. Hands don't count. Nope. I never say hello to hands. Okay. So now the question is, why did he stipulate that this whole story is only on the 13th and not on the 14th? Because goof for Rabbi Yehuda Shita is that you only need 3 days for something to take root. And Shamin le Rabbi Yehuda Domar Harkava Kol Harkava She'ino Koleta to Shlosha Yamim Shuv Eino Koleta. That when you're grafting a tree, if it doesn't take, what would you say? I don't know, take hold. If it doesn't, I mean, obviously, can't say take root on a graft. But if the graft doesn't take, I think they just say take in botany. If the graft doesn't take within 3 days, it's not going to take because the cells are too dried out now. They're not going to bind. Okay. So because of that, we're assuming that actually all of the botanical and the other issues they're all interrelated. So whatever would be good, grafting would be the equivalent when it comes to taking root and in Zroim and so on and so forth. Okay, that's an assumption that we have as a Kabbalah, that it's a 3-day process. So since that is Rabbi Yehuda Shita, so then if he would hold that the 14th is Mutter Ba'asiyat Melacha, why did he say on the 13th? Because it would be on the 14th, you'd still have 3 days, and that should be enough, right? 14, 15, 16. Ha ha. So apparently, Rabbi Yehuda holds, well, I can't talk about the 14th because you're not allowed to do weeding on the 14th anyway. So why would I talk about a guy who's doing weeding when he's not allowed to be doing weeding? So clearly, Rabbi Yehuda does not hold that it's mutter, even though in Yehuda they said it was mutter. So how do you like that? So lo meli shloshah sar ikar basar, chamisar, and miksar sheitzar. Omar Rava, well, maybe this whole thing was being spoken to people in the Galil. So in the Galil, since the minig is, in fact, that you don't work, so over there he's not going to tell people that if you were weeding on the 14th, they'll say, weeding on the 14th? Who are you talking to? A bunch of goyim. So because of that, he said weeding on the 13th, but eino chinami, weeding on the 14th would have been exactly the same. So that's all. Maybe that's the pshat. Excuse me, but so then why did he have to say that? Okay, he could have talked about the night of the 14th. Why did he have to talk about the 13th? And what if the night of the 14th should be mutter even in the Galil? Nope, he was going in the Galil. Aliba de Beit Shammai. Beit Shammai held the night before was also Aser, right? Rav Ashi says, oh, come on. I mean, there's got to be something intelligent. We're giving an example. Why does he have to hold the Beit Shammai? I mean, what's he talking about? A guy who walked out in his pajamas in the middle of the night of the Leil Arba Asar to weed his field. And are you crazy? Who goes out to weed a field in the middle of the night? You can't even see what you're doing. So how would he be weeding his field? So Rabbi Yehuda didn't want to say something stupid. So he talked about the 13th. But it doesn't mean he couldn't have talked about the 14th and what's called Libra Beit Shammai. Come on. Ravina says, look, none of this is necessary. It's all very simple. There could be a totally different reason for my not wanting to talk about the 14th. I'll tell you what the reason is. If it's the 14th, okay, so you're telling me, what you got, the 14th, 15th, the 16th. Now, hold on a second. We are talking about a botanical reality, not a halacha, okay? So you want to say, miksas hayom kakulo applies in the beginning, you know? So it's midway past the 14th. Now we have 1 day, you know, so we have the 15th, which is yontif, where it's going to be continuing to take root. And then we have a little bit of time on the next day. Thank you very much. I'm not going to say mixes ayom kakulo when it's dealing with a botanical reality. I mean, you know, you can't change nature. So the idea over here is that since we're talking about hashrasha, you can say chad mixes ayom kakulo, you can say, because normally when we talk about the nature of a process, we mean on the third day. We don't mean 3 full days, but you can't have it both ways. And therefore, trey mixes ayom kakulo lo amrinan. It has nothing to do with whether you're allowed to work on the 14th or not. You simply won't have enough time if you don't start the planting on the 13th, because you won't have only one mixes ayom kakulo in order to do the hashrasha. So we need 13th, 14th, 15th, and 16th. So we don't really need the 13th, but the 13th is necessary because otherwise you won't have the 14th. That's the point. Okay, that's great, and it's just in time for La Capitaine. Rabbi Meir Omer, when we're talking about not doing malacha, hold on a second. Suppose you started doing this malacha before. So kol malacha sheitchil b'kodem arba asar. You're in the middle of a job. There, gom rabbi arba asar, you are allowed to finish it on the 14th. All that it's saying, when it's saying you don't do malacha, is that to begin on the 14th. And that means not to begin on the 4th, in a place where the minig is not to do malacha. By the way, there are some who holds that this applies not only to the question of a place where the minig is not to do malacha in the morning, it even is referring to after chatzos, that if the malacha began before Erev Pesach, that you're allowed to finish it, even after chatzos. L'maisa, we don't paskin that way. But from the Mishnah, you could certainly understand it that way as well. But you can't start even if it's easy to finish. Afa pishi yachol gomra could be like anything. And the Chachamim say, you should know that even in this there's a kula, that you can start. And that's referring to three special umanuyot that you're allowed to do on Erev Pesach, and that is a tailor shop, a barber shop, and a dry cleaner or a laundromat is allowed to be open even on the Erev Pesach. And therefore, we're talking over here, even where the minig is not to be doing malacha, but they do have to finish before chatzot. And these are they, chayatim, saparim, and kofsim. We'll see in the Gemara why. Rabbi Yossi ben Yehuda Omer, I'm adding shoemakers. Shoemakers are allowed to be open. Okay, so now, first of all, how do we understand Rabbi Meir? I mean, remember, it's all very nice to talk about elements. We've had a number of factors before chatzot, after chatzot, what the minig is and what it isn't, how important is the job, and so on. Did you begin before or are you beginning now? But there's one very important thing you didn't tell me. Is what it is that you're doing needed for Yontif or not? I mean, obviously it's going to be important to Kuda, right? I mean, this is Nogea in Chol HaMoed, in Malacha that you're allowed to do in Chol HaMoed or not. Sorech HaMoed is considered to be ipso facto mutter. So, I mean, is that what Rabbi Meir is saying? So Rabbi Meir is saying, look, you can't start doing a Malacha. You can finish one, but you can only finish one if it is the Sorech HaMoed. But if it's not Litzorech HaMoed, you can't even finish. I mean, that would mean that Rabbi Meir is telling us a tremendous chumrah, that you need to have two factors in order to be able to do something on an Erev Yontev. And that would be you can never start, okay? You can only finish. And even when you can finish, it's only if finishing is necessary for Yontev. If it's not necessary for Yontev, then I'm not being matir. Whoa, that is the most calmer interpretation that we could possibly have in Rabbi Meir. Now, a different way to learn it would be maybe that he's talking about Dilma Shalom Litzorech HaMoed tonight. So he was saying, if something is not Litzorech HaMoed, then you can only finish it. But if it would be a Litzorech HaMoed, maybe you can even begin it. Whoa, so that's a tremendous kula, right? Because in two things it's being mako. First of all, it's telling me you can always finish something even if it's not Litzorech HaMoed, as long as it was started before. And furthermore, he's telling you that you can even start something as long as you can finish it before if it is Litzorech HaMoed. That's like the mirror opposite of the first interpretation. Okay, and then there's also a middle interpretation, which you could say means like this, that there's no difference. In other words, he's saying we don't view Litzorech HaMoed as an important factor, and whether it's Bein Litzorech HaMoed, Bein Shelo Litzorech HaMoed, you're always allowed to finish, but you're never allowed to start. So we have the maximum chumrah, maximum kula, and then we have midway that you could finish either, but we don't have the additional kula that you'd even be allowed to start it if it is Litzorech HaMoed. So I was like, well, okay, we could look in the Braita and we could see what Rabbi Meir holds. It says in the Braita like this, Avalo yatchil b'tchila b'arba'asar, anything at all. Afilu tzil tzul katan, afilu svacha ktanas. Remember that tzilka was a garter belt. and the Sfax we had back at Shabbos, and even a Sfax HaKtana, which is a little net that you put over the hair to hold in the hair underneath your hat, and so on. And that's, so, I mean, what do you mean even? Like, why are these things different? Even. What's the even about it at all? I mean, I'm assuming even something that, I mean, if you're making a garter belt on Erev Shabbos, apparently your stockings are going to fall down, right? So, I mean, it's definitely Tzorach HaMoed. So it's telling you, even if it is a Tzorach HaMoed, you can only be Migmar in Baditchulelo. You can't start even if you need it for Yontem. I'm assuming that it means. So in other words, that would mean that if it was not the Tzorach HaMoed, you wouldn't even be allowed to finish, which is the most Chomor. That's the first approach that we took in understanding Rabbi Meir, right? No, not right. It could be that you are allowed to finish, even if it's not Litzorach. When you're talking about Afilu, it has nothing to do Afilu because you need it for the Moed. It means even something that is such a simple, small thing to do. I'm afraid it's like a garter belt. I mean, it's 2 inches long. I mean, what's it going to take to make a garter belt? And a Svacha, like, just take a net and you put a piece of elastic around it. I mean, that's the point. So when you say Afilu, it means Afilu, ani nami de zutrininu. These are such easy things that you finish them in 3 minutes. So over there, Sagadai Tachamina obviously would have thought, what do you mean you could start, but you can't start, you can only finish? I mean, by the time you start this, you finish it. I mean, it's a little silly to talk about the difference between starting and finishing in a 5-minute process. So Sagadai Tachamina Hatchalatan Zoig Gemar Malachtan. I mean, you can't make a difference in something like that. And therefore, if it's such a simple thing, you could even begin it on Erev Yontem Kamash Malan. But it was not talking about the question of the Tzorach HaMoed, in which case, I still don't know what Rebbe Meir was trying to say. I have 3 possibilities here. Okay. I got a raya from Rebbe Meir's own statement elsewhere. Okay. Toshma, Rebbe Meir Omer, Kol Malacha Shil Tzorach HaMoed. I can tell you one thing. If you need something for Yontem, so then Gomra Be'arba Asa. You can finish it and only finish it, even if the Minigam Mokum is not to do melacha, you're allowed to finish it. But when is this? Bizman shitchil b'kodem arba asa. Only if you started before arba asa. But if you didn't, then you cannot start. Lo yatchil b'arba asa, even if it is for a tzil tzukot. Okay, so now take a look what this bright is essentially telling you. It's telling you that it has to be l'tzorach hamoed. Now, when I'm telling you you're allowed to finish, I mean, if it is Litzorach HaMoed, but if it is not Litzorach HaMoed, then you are not allowed to finish it. I mean, you can't get clearer than that, can you? Yes, is the Gemara, you can actually, as you're not thinking well. I mean, it's very possible that even if it was Shalom Litzorach HaMoed, you would be allowed to finish it. And all that Rabbi Meir wanted to say is that if something is Litzorach HaMoed, you cannot start it. That's what he's coming to say. If you have something that's a Tzorach HaMoed, you can only finish it on the 14th. Does that necessarily mean that if it wasn't the Tzorach HaMoed, you can't even finish it? No. He may be simply saying, even if it is the Tzorach HaMoed, you can't start it. So I still don't know. Migmarin itchuloi lo. No raya. Do you have a raya or not? What did Rebbe Meir definitely mean? Tashma. Rebbe Meir Omer, Kol Malacha, Shi Litzorach HaMoed, Gomra Be'arba Asar, V'she'eina Litzorach HaMoed Asur. Okay, this probably spells it out. Finally, good enough for you, right? A Malacha, which is Litzorach HaMoed, you are allowed only to complete it. But if it's not Litzorach HaMoed, then you cannot complete it. Even to complete it, if the minig is not to do Malacha. And if you're in a place where people are working, so over there, even if it's not Litzorach HaMoed, of course, you would be able to. So now, there's no way to misinterpret this statement of Rabbi Meir. I mean, it's about as clear as anybody could make it. I mean, he's saying, and at the end of the braisa, he's saying, Mokum Shenagu, only Mokum Shenagu. This is a bit fairish. If it's not a Mokum Shenagu, then I'm not giving you any heter to finish something if it's not Litzorach HaMoed. Then not. And furthermore, from the first part, he's saying the only heter I'm giving you is Litzorach HaMoed. Shalo Litzorach HaMoed lo. So Shmamina, that Enochinami. It was the first approach we took to Rabbi Meir. Maximal Chumra. That you need to have both Litzorach HaMoed and only to be Gomra if you're in a Mokam that the minhag is not to do halacha in the morning, QED. Okay, then we said that when it comes to three specific things, so haircuts or laundromats and so on, that you are allowed to do. And why would that be true? So here we get into, at last, a definition of the type of things, bichlal, that we mean when we say, do not do malacha on Erev Pesach. Because that's not a well-defined statement, obviously, because malacha is defined in so many different ways for so many different purposes. I mean, you're talking about malacha on Shabbat, that is usher. And then you're talking about malacha that is usher on Yontif. And then you're talking about malacha that's usher on Chol HaMoed. Well, over there we have all those additional laterium of, you know, if it's Litzorach HaMoed, or if it's a Dovra Ovad, and many, many other specific cases which were going to be matured during Chol HaMoed. So, I mean, like, what actually is the meaning of Amokim Shenagu Lo Lasot Melacha? And here, at last, it becomes clear. Basically, the guideline is like this. Whatever is usher during Chol HaMoed as an absolute isser, is usher to do in a Mokum Shenagu Lo La'asot or anywhere after Chatzot. So that means we give the din of Erev Yontev the din of Chol HaMoed. However, not precisely, it's not as chomer, in the sense that if you find a particular case where the Chachomim were matir a particular type of malacha in Chol HaMoed in certain circumstances, then that malacha is mutter under all circumstances, Erev Yontif. That's the difference. So here's the point. Since the chayatim, you know why chayatim are allowed to actually work on Erev Yontif and they can even start a job on Erev Yontif? Because look, the halacha is that if you, who is certainly not a bucky in sewing, if you want to sew something during Chol HaMoed, you're allowed to do that if you don't know how to sew, because that's considered not to be an actual professional malacha. And therefore, since you could do it during Chol HaMoed, and that's a particular circumstance, then on Erev Yontif it's mutter under all circumstances. So, saparim and kofsim. You know why a barbershop and a laundromat, why that's mutter? Because the halacha is that if somebody arrives during Chol HaMoed and he arrives from Medinat Hayam, or he just gets out of jail during Chol HaMoed, he is allowed to be misaprin umechapsim b'chol HaShamoed because he did not have a chance to do those things before. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, before we get to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, you would be allowed, since under the circumstances of arriving late during Chol HaMoed or getting out of jail during Chol HaMoed, those circumstances, therefore an Erev Yontif, any circumstances. Now, what is the part about Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda? Afarat Sanim. What's his thinking about shoemakers? Shekein Olei Regalim Etaknim in Aleihem B'Chol HaShamoed. He says, look, in order for the Olei Regalim, and these Olei Regalim have been walking a long time, and their shoes are not in very good shape, and because of that, they are allowed to have the shoes repaired during Chol HaMoed. So since under those circumstances, we allow for shoe repair, so therefore we allow shoemakers to work on Erev Yontif. It's the same principle, is it not, as this the barbershop and so on, so why not? So why did the Chachomim argue? B'mayka miflage? Very simple. Marsav Rabbi Yossi holds that even though the special circumstances during Chol HaMoed are only repairing shoes, they're not making shoes. Nonetheless, that means that a shoemaker works. So it makes a difference if the shoemaker works on repair or the shoemaker works on actually starting a pair of shoes on Erev Yontif. Mashenkin, the Chachomim say, how can you learn out a din that has to do with the tchilat melacha to start making a pair of shoes from the fact that you're allowed to repair a pair of shoes, and never do we find a case to Chol HaMoed that you can make a pair of shoes, and therefore we stick to our guns. There's only three malachas that you're allowed to start and not four. And now it's time for our Kapitan. Moshivin Shavachim Latanagolim Be'arba Asar. Okay, here we've got another issue, which has to do very much with the question of starting, completing, and introduces the idea of Hefsed and the concept of the difference of Hefsed Merubah or Hefsed Muat when it comes to the Dinim of Erev Yontif. And just a brief discussion of the word Shovachim. As you know, the word Shovach is generally used as a birdhouse for doves, a dovecot, right? And the question is, can you use that word as a general word for making a comfy place for birdies? Or is it a very special kind of idea of the sneaky trick that we play on those poor pigeon brains who turn out to be pretty smart after all? And we give them a nice place to stay where we can grab them and eat them. So this is a shaila. So Rashi has two explanations. One is the girsa that we have over here, which means moshivim shovachim, which is obviously using the word shovach to, as a more general terms, of making a comfortable place for a bird to do its thing. And the thing that it does is incubate eggs for you. So you can use the same word for a chicken. And Rashi says, he doesn't like that shot. And there's another girsa, which is Moshivim Shovachim Vitarnagolim. So that would mean, in other words, you're allowed to get the doves into their place, and you can put a chicken back onto an egg, or onto an egg, to make sure that it incubates. Okay. So the Rambam learns like the first approach, that it's making a comfy place for a bird to sit on an egg. So it means setting up an incubator, essentially, on Yontif. So here it says, on Erev Yontif. So on Erev Yontif, you're allowed to even set up an incubator for the eggs. And if you've got a smart chicken, and that chicken ran away and escaped, my God, I think I'm going to spend my life sitting on a bunch of eggs. You got to be crazy. And so away goes the chicken. What was that movie where they had the chickens all rebelling? I forgot. But this is the mocker, you know, the kulobo. Obviously, there's going to be a Mishnah about the chickens running away. So what happened if the chicken escaped? Are you allowed to get it back in and to do its job? So Tarnagolet Shaborcha, if it escaped and you catch it, you can put it back into place. The Gemara says, well, isn't that obvious? I mean, if you can set it up in the first place, if it was already on the job and managed to find the key to the door and get out of there, I mean, it's less dirk to get it back on than it was to put it there in the first place, isn't it? That the Gemara will ask. And you could do that. And in the case of a terrible tragedy where the chicken died. Oh my gosh, can you imagine there? The poor mommy is sitting dreaming of its little chicks. And unfortunately, as one of the tragedies in this world, it ends up dying before the eggs hatch. You are allowed to take another chicken and put it instead of the first chicken and continue to get those eggs to full term. And another thing that you can do on your farm, Ira, is Gorfimi Tachat Ragle Behima Barba Asar. On Erev Pesach, you're allowed to clear out muck and you can dump it. But during Yontev, you can only be Misalkin Litzdadim. You can't actually clear the muck away. You can only move it to the side of the stall. Molichin Kelim, and now a general halacha. Okay, everybody, you are allowed to bring your TV in for repairs. And you can bring it back from repairs, even though you certainly are not going to watch TV during Yontif. And therefore, you're still allowed to bring the TV into repair. Now, this is a question, why would that be true? We shall see. Ask the Gemara the obvious question. If you're allowed to put the hen there in the first place, so if she managed to escape, I mean, isn't it obvious that you could put it there in the second place, which is a little bit less of a hassle, because you've already broken her into the job, and basically she was sitting there the whole time thinking, any minute now, they're going to be catching me, oh my God, you know. So, okay, so when it finally happens, you know, you figure, damn, they got me. All right, but then she's ready to go back, right? But it's not as bad as, what the heck? Why am I doing here? What am I doing here? I want out. That's much worse to persuade her to sit down on those eggs in the first place. So, Omar Abaya, the Seifa, when it says that you can eat, you can put her back on if she ran away, obviously can't be referring to the same time. That's got to be telling me what the din is because of Shel Moed. That's the point. So the first part is saying, if it's Erev Yontev, so then you can even put it on in the first place. If it's Chol HaMoed, where we're more machmir, then you're allowed to put it back on if you catch her during Yontev. Amar Rav Huna, listen. It's not, I mean, this is not a flat-out etter. I mean, you can only allow a putting her back on her eggs if you catch her during Chol HaMoed, if it's within 3 days of her escape, okay? Because the first 3 days of the escape, she's really nervous. Any minute now, they're going to get me, you know? It's not the real reason. Because within the first 3 days of escape, the hormones that allow her to actually sit around on an egg are still circulating in her blood. So because of that, putting her back on the egg is indeed a little bit easier than it would be to try to turn her on to the eggs in the first place, which is more difficult. That's the point. So obviously, this is not just a psychological issue. It's a hormonal issue. And because of this, since she's still hot for the eggs, literally use the word hot. So she's got the hots for the eggs because it's still part of her hormonal structure of reproduction. So, okay, it's not that tough to get her back onto the eggs. But, I mean, if it's already after that, then it's the same as trying to get her to sit on eggs in the first place, okay? Furthermore, there's another issue over here. How long ago did she start the process, okay? Achar shlosha, this is only if it's achar shlosha liyeshivata, the pastor obey legamre. If it's after 3 days of doing the incubating, right? So she's been brooding on these eggs for 3 days. Now there you have got, this is obviously unrelated to when she escaped. She could have escaped 5 minutes ago and have brooded 3 days on the eggs. But the point is that once she's brooded for 3 days, you already have the beginning of embryonic development. And therefore, you don't have anything to do with these eggs because if she doesn't bring them to full term, you're going to dump them, right? So over there, you're talking about a real hefset. So then if you can have both of these things, that she's still not really going to be impossible to get her back on the eggs. Plus, if she doesn't sit on the eggs, they're going to be ruined. And pasul abei legamre, then if you have both of those things, both elements, you are allowed to get her even in Chol HaMoed. But if it's over 3 days since she's run away, she no longer has the hots for her eggs. And so over there, porach latzimra mina, the heat has left her. Or it's still within 3 days of the beginning of the brooding, then even if she doesn't get back onto the eggs, they are not totally ruined. Now, they're not very fresh, and many people are not going to want to eat them, but there's people that don't even notice the difference between a fresh egg and an old egg. So there, you could still sell it. And lo madrina. Whereas Rabbi Ami says, "Afilu tokshol shali yeshivata," even if it's within 3 days, you're still, it's not going to be a good egg for eating, and therefore you want to bring this egg to full term. What is the machlokas between Rav Huna and Rabbi Ami? Obviously, Rav Huna holds that only if it's a hefsed meruba, meaning you're not going to be able to sell the egg at all because it's the embryo is developed. There, the Chachomim said you're allowed to get it to full term by getting her back on. But the little bit of a loss, which is it's going to be a cheaper egg because you have a limited market to buy an older egg, no, that we're not worried about. Whereas Marsav or Abami holds, yes, we are. We're makbid on anything, even on a lesser hefset. And the next thing we had in the Mishnah, you can actually clear away the muck completely. But on Chol HaMoed, you can only move it to the sides. Tanur Rabbanan, it says in a Braita that if there's Zevel in the Chotzer, you can be Mesalik Otol HaChatzai, Litzdadim. And then look at this. This is crazy. Just contradicts itself completely in the continuation. And if it's in the stable or in the Chotzer, then you can take it out to the, what? You said you can't. Agufa kasha. First you say, if it's in a courtyard, right, then you can only move it to the sides. You can't take it out. and you cannot take it out to the garbage dump. And then you turn around and you say, but if it's in the stable or the chatzar, you can take it out. Make up your mind. Amar Abaye lo kasha. That's the whole point. As we've seen, there's a difference between doing work on the 14th and doing work on Chol HaMoed. So in the first brisa where we were talking about, you're not, first part of the brisa, we said you're not allowed to move it out of a chatzar. That's talking about Chol HaMoed. Because over there, tircha is usher, and it's a lot. It's a heck of a job to clear out that muck and put it into a tractor and bring it out somewhere else. And that you can't do. Whereas over there, it's talking about Erev Pesach. And Erev Pesach, we are more mekel, as we saw. So what under certain circumstances is mutter Chol HaMoed becomes more mutter, even in other circumstances, in Erev Yontif. Rava says you don't even have to say that. It could both be referred to Chol HaMoed. And you need to understand how to read that second part. It doesn't mean if it's in a stable or in a chatzar. What it means is that even during Chol HaMoed, if for all intents and purposes, your front yard has turned into a stable, so then you can get rid of it. In other words, if it's such a mess, there's not even room to push it to the side and so on, then motzino to la'ashpa, that's all that it was saying. And the last thing that we had was the question of taking things to the Beit HaOman, which is weird. Why do you take your TV into the Beit HaOman? So you said, you're allowed to take your TV in and you're allowed to pick your TV up. And Rav Papa said, you know, when we were kids, Rava asked us, he gave us a bechina, and he said, it says in the Mishnah over here in Pesachim that molichinu mevim kelim yibeit ha'oman, even though it is not letzorach ha'moed, but the problem is that in the Mishnah in Moed Katan, which discusses the dinim of Chol HaMoed, it says not like that. And it says, ein mevim kelim yibeit ha'oman, you're not allowed to pick up your TV from the repair. Ve'imachor sheish lehem shema yiganvu, if you're worried that you're never going to get them back if you don't pick them up now, then you're allowed to pick them up, but you can't bring them into your own house, okay? You can move them into a place where you're not worried about them getting stolen, but we don't allow you to bring your TV back into your house, obviously taking it from a repair center during Chol HaMoed. And therefore, that's no good. If you're afraid, the most you could do is be mefanam l'chatzar acheret. But how do you explain our mission says you can even bring him into your own house? Well, we answered Rava, and we told him, Lo kasha, kan be'arba'asar, kan be'chol HaShomoy, the same idea. We're going to be more mekel on Erev Yontif than we are from the Mishnah in Moed Katan, which is talking about Chol HaMoed. Or, I could say both cases are talking about Chol HaMoed, and it's not such a problem. One case is talking about where you trust the repairman. So you're not afraid, you know, one of these guys puts up a sign, anything left over 5 days is no longer going to be there, you know? Yeah, sure. But there are guys that actually will go sell your TV. Well, sorry, sir, you didn't pick it up. Very sorry, we posted it, you know? So if you don't trust the guy, so that's a big difference. I mean, if you're talking about where you don't trust them, then you got to save your TV. So, Elokasha, kan b'mamino, and kan b'she'inu mamino. A different explanation of trusting would be, as we'll see, if you already paid him and you're afraid he's going to charge you again, and he never remembers that you paid him and so on. That's the point. And in fact, the Braita makes that very clear. Vatanya. Maybe im kelimi beit ha'oman, you're allowed to pick up things from a repair center. For instance, you could pick up a pitcher from a pottery, or you could pick up a beautiful glass from a glassmaker. Now that's obviously Litzorach HaYontif. But you can't pick up wool from a dyer, because you're not going to be working with the wool on Yontif, and you can't pick up other things that are not needed from Yontif for whatever, any repair center. But if the workman, the craftsman who's making it, does not have anything to eat, so you need to pay him, but you still can't pick it up. So pay him and leave it by him. Now, if you don't trust him, because he may charge you again, so then you take it and put it in some place closer, but not in your own home. If you're afraid that from there they'd even get stolen, okay, you can bring him into your own home, but do it b'tzina'a. Says the Gemara, but Rava, that only answers why you can bring it home. The kasha was, why are you allowed to bring the TV in the first place? And you never answered that. Why are you allowed to bring in the TV? Molechin kasha, because in the Mishnah Moed Katan it said both. Ein meviin. I mean, it didn't say peferish, but if you're not even allowed to pick it up, you're certainly not allowed to bring it there in the first place. And over here it says you can actually take them in. Therefore, the first answer is the best answer. One is on Chol HaMoed, and one is on the 14th, and that settles it. Okay, everybody, now let us decide. When shall we meet after having a wonderful Shabbos, which brings us obviously closer to our Geula, and is all about the Geulas Mitzrayim, full with nice lessons, which, of course, we should meet to discuss. But what time shall we meet on Mitzray Shabbos for Joburg? So who is going to take the Joburg position here? Akiva looks like he's ready to talk. Calvin looks like he's about to appear. Even Naftali wants to speak from his automobile. Sorry, 7:39. Okay, so where? There we go. We got those two automobiles. So what time adds up for the commuters? Shall we do the 8:15 again? Is that okay? Will there be enough time?
We can do 8:15
is fine. 8 is also fine. 8 from 49 to 8? No, that's crazy. Okay. All right, so I say 8:15 because, look, I mean, look at Moshe Forman's face. You'll understand why we can't go to 8. I mean, you can actually see his stomach shrinking with even the thought. Okay, and before we quit, I note that Ira had sent, is Ira still here? Or did we lose him? Okay, so he sent in something about the farm. I didn't get a chance to read it on the chats. Oh, look at that. Look at that. He says you actually you actually can measure the difference of the heat, of literal heat. It doesn't all mean hormonal heat the way Rashi is learning. That's interesting. Okay, beautiful. That's really interesting. All right, then we have a machlokas about whether you can eat a fertilized egg. And, of course, you can eat a fertilized egg. So that's not an issue.